Get ready. It's going to be a great word. And so without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce Brother Cody Clark to the stage. Why don't you welcome him this morning? Why don't you welcome him?
Well, good morning, Tylertown family. I am incredibly thankful that you are here this morning. Chances are you are happy to be out of the house if you have been spending time with extended family or small children. I don't know about you guys, but Christmas was, it was great, but it was chaotic. I don't know how many of you guys can relate to that today, but this was our first Christmas with a high school senior, a four-year-old, and a one-year-old. And man, there's nothing like Christmas with kids. But I remember the one Christmas Taylor and I had, my bride, where we didn't have children, and it was quiet and restful. And we could sleep whenever. Or we didn't make the commitment to go see extended family. Or extended family didn't make the commitment to come see us, whether they were invited or not. And so I'm thankful for a time of rest and rejuvenation and a time to celebrate God. And again, happy day after Christmas, where hopefully leftovers taste better than they did the original time. And the in-laws are getting ready to leave. Amen. And so a couple uncomfortable laughs in here, but it'll be okay. All that to say, as I was talking with Pastor Irvin and kind of praying and seeking as to where God would have us to go today. What do you preach on after you just got done preaching an entire series on the birth of Jesus? Well, I think it's the ministry of Jesus. And so we're going to be in Mark chapter 1 today as we prepare, coming off of Christmas, but getting ready for the new year, in a message today that I've called Make Space. Make Space. And I don't know about you guys, but again, coming off of an incredibly busy season of life. I don't know about you, but for some reason I expected 2021 coming out of 2020 to kind of be a savior in and of itself, if you will. I expected that there was going to be this huge break and breath coming out of 2020. And when the clock struck midnight on December 31st, turning into January 1st, 2021, like all my problems were going to be solved. And they were still there waiting for me. They were still there. And as 2021 went on, I was incredibly blessed. We were blessed. We got to see our baby girl turn one. We got to see our 17-year-old turn into an 18-year-old, our 3-year-old to a 4-year-old. God blessed us with another healthy year of marriage. We've seen 30-something people baptized here at Tylertown Church. We've seen ministries grown. We've seen a city reached for Christ. It's been a fantastic year. But one of the goals that I made going into New Year last year was to make space, right? Just to create white space where it wasn't filled in and it wasn't scheduled and it wasn't busy, but rather I would be able to kind of take a step back and be able to address things and to love on people that needed to be addressed and that needed to be loved on. But I failed at that, right? And part of that is because I think as people, society tells us that if you're not busy and if you're not always doing something, then you're failing. You're falling behind. You're not doing enough, right? But we'll read here in just a second that even the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, that was the complete deity of God that stepped out of heaven and became flesh for you and I, man, he worked hard, but even at times he needed rest. He needed rest. And so I love the gospel of Mark because I believe if I were to write a gospel, it would be very much so like Mark did. And if you look at the entire first chapter, kind of up until this point, it's almost shorthanded. Like I'm real bad at retelling stories. I don't go into a whole lot of detail, and Mark doesn't either. He's just very black and white, Pastor Irv. He tells you like it is, how it happened, and what you need to know. He gets in and he gets out. And so, hey, we see the entire beginning, the birth to the beginning of Jesus' ministry happen within the first 28 verses. And then here we see a time where Jesus is coming out of a busy season. Right? He's grinding, he's preaching, and he's healing people, and he's traveling, and as we come into verse 29, he's coming out of teaching in the synagogue where it says that he taught with authority, right? And he was teaching not in the way that the scribes had previously taught, but one that carried some weight in his pocket. Brother Dwayne, he knew what he was talking about, right? And there was something different about him, but he was preaching and teaching and leading. And so up to this point, Jesus is getting ready to kind of take a break, right? To go back to the house after church to get that casserole, to get that roast that's been cooking all day, right? And to get that weighted blanket and to curl up on the couch and maybe watch a movie and take that post-church nap, which I usually look forward to. But I have small kids, so it doesn't always work out. But we find ourselves in verse 29, where we start to see the ministry of Jesus continue to unfold, but then also how he rested and rejuvenated from that. So would you read the word of God with me in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 38. And the word of God says this, "And immediately he left the synagogue, and he entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them," because whenever you interact with Jesus, sometimes you can't help but to go ahead and get up and serve. "That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." Verse 35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were in search for him, and they found him, and they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" And in verse 38, he said, "And he said to them, 'Let us go to the next towns, and I may preach there also, for that is why I came.'" Father God, Lord, we pray today, God, that you would speak to us in these next moments. God, speak to us on how to make space, God, in our work life and in our workplace and with those that we carry influence with. But Lord, I pray that you would also speak to us in this next few moments, Lord, and how to rest in you. God, how to be rejuvenated in you. God, and how to find our peace and our solace completely within you. God, I pray that you would continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit today. Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, and that your word would come forth and take deep root in the hearts of your people. Father, we love you and we're thankful for you, and it's in your name that I pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, I believe that looking at this passage, that we learn about two rhythms of Jesus that we can very easily and honestly quite quickly apply to our own life. And the first rhythm is this, is work. And I don't think, believe it or not, I know what a whole lot of mainstream media and things like that say as well, but I believe that work is not the thing that we struggle with most in today's culture. As a matter of fact, I believe that it's really easy for us to work, if not a little bit all the time, right? I don't know about you guys, but there are times in my life where I'm laying there at night, and then Nick, I don't know if it happens to you, but you know, I you ever got that cold sweat? Like you forgot something, or you've got this big project coming up and you've got to get X, Y, and Z done. Or, you know, maybe you're a little quiet at the dinner table and you're not engaging with your family because your mind is elsewhere, because you haven't been able to turn the stuff off that needs to be turned off and pour into the things that need to be poured into most. Because I have. I have. You know, Easter outreaches, Pastor Irvin, where we're expecting, you know, a couple thousand of our closest friends. And, you know, I'm worried about how porta potties are going to get there. And I'm worried about how, you know, I'm worried about the route that the train's going to take. And I'm worried about, you know, how registration's going to go. And I'm worried about all those things. And I miss opportunities at bedtime, stressing about the things that I don't need to be stressing about. And I'm missing opportunities to share Jesus and the purpose that we even celebrate Easter to my children at bedtime. You see, I believe that we don't have a hard time working, but I believe that we are called to work hard. Right? And I love, as a matter of fact, Proverbs 12:11, right? It's biblical. If you don't work, you don't eat. Right? And I'm going to call that the Irvin Wasswa translation. But if you don't work, you don't eat. And so it's, you know, speaking to the simple fact that, hey, we are called to work. It's good to have a job. It's good to pour out the gifts that God has given us as children, right? He might have made you good at finances. That's awesome. Praise be to you. Maybe you love a spreadsheet. You are gifted and highly favored, and I need your help, right? Maybe he's gifted you at being a teacher. Maybe he's gifted you of help run a university. Maybe he's gifted you with the ability to coach a team. Maybe he's gifted you with the ability to build things with your hands. Maybe he's given you the ability to write, you know, you're really good at writing or quilting or whatever it may be. You're good at it. You have gifts. If you have breath in your lungs, you have gifts in your body. And I believe that those gifts are not just a means to an end in terms of a financial standpoint. But they're means to an end to provide for our family, but then also to be able to go into a workplace and to be Christ to those that need it. Right? And we see this in the life of Jesus specifically in this passage. It said that he had spent time in the synagogues that morning preaching. Which, by the way, if you read verse 38 in the same passage, it says that's why he came. He didn't come to necessarily heal, and he didn't come to necessarily do all these miracles. Those were a means to get the message across. And so for us, in the same way, the gifts that you have, the things that you display outwardly as passions and abilities, a means to the message, just like Christ Jesus did. And man, I want to demonstrate that, right? Well, Cody, you're on staff at a church. It's easy for you. No, it's not. I hang out with a bunch of saved people all the time, right? I've got to intentionally plant myself in situations and places where I can have conversations with lost people and interact with them and give an account for the hope that is within me. But man, I want to challenge us today that if we're going to work, we work hard. We work diligently. Right? We put on display the gifts that we have in order to point people to Christ. Right? If you are a teacher, that is amazing. You have gifts and patience like I could never imagine. But you're not a teacher for a paycheck. You're a teacher for the mission of God. And it's hard in public schools. Can we just call it what it is? I know you can't, you know, write Bible verses on the board, and you can't, you know, teach, you know, through Exodus, or you can't share the gospel with folks. I know that that's not a reality, but you can put on display the gifts of the Spirit. You can be a person of peace. You can show joy. You can be patient, right? Nobody wants a mean teacher. Call it what it is. I still remember And I'm not going to say it just in case by some chance she watches this online. But I still remember my art teacher in seventh grade, Ben. And she was not a joyful person. She was not. And look, to be fair, I'm going to own what I need to own. I was not an easy kid. Right? I love to talk. Pastor Irvin, I know you didn't struggle with that in school at all. But I love to talk and I would get in trouble. But man, every day, she was known for like the scowl on her face. Right? And she's just mad. Mad. And I got to feeling froggy one day. Right? And I went in and I'd been, you know, going to church a little bit and things. And, you know, I heard about joy. And so I was gonna ask her why she didn't have joy. But it didn't come out like, hey, you know, man, let me tell you about Jesus and all these things, blah, 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 blah. It was, why are you so mad all the time? It didn't go over well. Right? Didn't go well, but that idea that you're a teacher on purpose and you're called to live outwardly the mission of God. Man, if you're a construction worker, right? I lived in that world for a while. It's hard to live for Christ in that. It's hard to keep your tongue under wraps. It's hard to not want to, you know, punch the electricians in the mouth whenever they, you know, tear your wall out so you can. I get it. But man, pointing people to Christ is the reason that we even exist and have breath in our lungs. The Bible says if we don't call out and praise God for who He is, the rocks will. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to give them that honor because that's mine to own. And so man, what would it look like if we would go out, we would work hard, but then we would point people to Jesus? And so Jesus comes out of the synagogue and He comes home and He's ready for that nap. He's ready for that roast that's been cooking all day. Right? He's ready for it. He can taste it. And He walks in and what's He met with? Man, an opportunity for ministry. But it's not what I was expecting and it wasn't on my schedule. He had margin for it. And because of the relationship that Simon had with Jesus, his mother-in-law had a direct route to the healing for her current situation. And this isn't even in the notes, but it, like Pastor Irvin says, it's for free. Maybe someone in our life, maybe they don't have a relationship with Jesus, and so they don't have a proper shot at redemption and grace and mercy and the truth and the freedom of the gospel apart from us. And maybe because of our relationship with Jesus and our proximity to those that need to hear, maybe it's our job to speak life into them when the opportunity presents itself. But she got the solution to her issue. And it says that while Jesus was preaching in the synagogue in the previous passage, it says that He taught as one who had authority, which was not something that they were accustomed to. And so the news of Jesus began to spread throughout the area. And so then the healing of Simon, who later would be called Peter, his mother-in-law, that was an affirmation of the Spirit already moving, and it went to solidify the purpose that God had placed on Jesus to take Christ, to take gospel, to take life change into the world. But it came through an exerted effort. It came through working hard. And I want you to know that today in your workplace, you are so much more than a production asset. You're not just an employee number. You're not just a paycheck at home. You're not just the sum total of the points on your job description. You are a missionary of the living, true God. And you have an opportunity, but also a calling and a commission to live out Jesus every day. And look, get down on the practical level. You know, so the big so what of it all is, how do you do it? How do you do it? Right? Well, man, maybe it starts with smiling. Right? And I get, we work with some people that don't make us want to smile. We have bosses that don't make us want to smile. We have expectations heaved on us that don't bring us joy. But our joy doesn't come from those things. And it's not contingent upon those things. And so maybe it's being a person of peace. Or displaying patience. But how can you be Christ in your areas of influence? Maybe you need to be that at home because you haven't been that at home because of outside circumstances that you've been carrying across the threshold, that doorway, when you come in at night. That you just need to shed all of that stuff and you need to become dad. You need to become husband. You need to become wife, mom. You need to become son, friend, roommate, whatever. And you need to start leveraging those relationships. Right? But we've got to have the margin in our life. We've got to make space to live in that way. Because, man, if I show up to work here at the church and I don't make space to have gospel conversations with parents bringing their children into a daycare center, or I don't make space to go to a coffee shop and leave my headphones out, I don't use that noise canceling, feature on them. Mm-hmm. I leave them in my bag and I don't engage with people around me. I don't create space for that. Then I'm missing the margin that God has given me. Jesus didn't measure his production or the peaks of his ministry in miracles or miles traveled. He measured it in the messages of truth that he got to speak to people. And so would that be our heart today? Man, as I go to work, I'm a missionary. As I work hard, because it's good for me to make a living, I'm going to do that in a way that points people to Jesus. I'm not going to sit there and cuss like a sailor. I'm not going to sit there and be the negative person, in the break room. Man, I'm going to give an account for the joy and the hope and the light that lives in me. I'm going to be that city on a hill in Matthew 5. Second rhythm that we see today is this, is we see rest. This is the one that I believe we struggle with. Because if I were to ask you how you rest, how you rejuvenate your heart, your soul, your mind, I don't know that a lot of us would have a good definitive answer for that. Or even if I asked the question, when the last time you rested was, what is even the gauge or the metric in how to define that, or let alone be able to tell you when it was? Man, for me and my family, it was yesterday. Right? Because even though we had kids running around and it was extremely chaotic, it was the first day we didn't have to go anywhere in 13 days. We created margin just to breathe as a family. But we started the day reading the birth account of Jesus to our kids because that's what mattered. It wasn't the big shiny presents. It wasn't, the fact that Santa ate the cookies and wrote Titus a note. It wasn't the reindeer cookies that, or the reindeer pancakes that Mama made. It wasn't the, strawberry and banana candy cane that Mom put on the plate for them. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was that they got Jesus. Because you see, even the Son of God in his flesh had a finite amount of energy. He got tired. He got wore out. And so we see in verse 35. And it says, "And and rising early in the morning while it was still dark. Man, before alarm clocks. He departed and he went out to a desolate place, to a quiet place, to a secluded place. And he prayed there. And just thinking about that, thinking about, man, when I'm tired, what's my go-to? What's my place of rest? Man, I'm an extrovert by nature, and so I really do enjoy being with people. You know, I love going to the gym and talking with people. I love going, you know, to the basketball court and playing ball. I love going to a coffee shop and sitting and talking. Like, I do love those things. But if I don't have margin for rest in my life, I'm gonna burn out and I'm gonna be tired. And I'm gonna start leaning even more so into my flesh because I'm not spending time with the God who became flesh for me. I'm not spending time with Jesus and learning about Him and learning about His habits and learning about His rituals and how He lived His life. I'm living my life and trying to build up my kingdom. And when I continue to do that, I get burnt out and I get tired and I get frustrated because things don't work out the way that I need them to work out or I think that they should work out. I read a statistic this week where it says anywhere from 65 to 75 percent of the U.S. would classify their current mental state as exhausted, with no end in sight. And man, I go back to this verse, and I see how Jesus did it. Man, it says that later in the day, after the sun had went down, is when the entire town came to the door and they needed something from him and he gave it to them. But even though he put in that overtime and he worked well into the night, he didn't negate to wake up early in the morning because he knew what his heart needed. He knew what his soul needed. He knew what he needed in order to function properly. And so he woke up, he made it a priority, created margin for it. He woke up earlier than he might have originally been planning on waking up in order to get into a quiet place, a desolate place. And we see it many times throughout Scripture that before there's a major work of Jesus, he got away from people and he got into the presence of God. And I think he knew what Matthew 28 would say. It says, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It doesn't say, "Come to me, all of you who have it together and have the highest production rate in your company, all of you who have perfect marriages and never have an argument, all of you who have perfect angel children and you never have to spank them." It doesn't say any of that. It says, all of you who have labored and are heavy laden, who are tired and you're spent and you're wore out, come to me and I'll give you rest. We see two things in how Jesus spent time resting. Two ways we can rest. One is he got into solitude. Solitude. Got away into a quiet place. I don't care if you're the world's biggest extrovert. Getting away and having time to process, having time to journal, having time to think, to dream, to rest, to breathe, to not be needed for a moment. It'll do wonders for your soul. Car rides are that time for me. You know, just practically speaking. I roll up here and I'm on the clock, right? I'm working. I've got to go do this. I've got to, you know, run and make this happen. I've got to talk to this person. Like, I've got to do that. You know, I roll up to the gym, right? I go like home to the gym and to work. Like, those are like the three places I go. I feel like I'm talking about that a lot, but I go to the gym and I roll up and I've got a job to do, right? I've got to get in. I've got to get out. And so I stopped playing music and stopped, you know, listening to a whole lot of podcasts and things like that in the car. And I started just riding in silence. And it's made me realize how little of that time I actually get. And man, I'm able to think about people that I need to reach out to. I'm able to think about the quiet time that I had that morning and think about, hey, here's how I need to implement that in my life. I'm able to step back and to breathe, and I feel like I can actually legitimately feel my blood pressure go down because I'm able to turn it off for a moment and just rest. And it's crucial. Just some food for thought. If it was a good idea for Jesus, whose whole purpose was to come to teach, to show, and to save mankind, to get away to a quiet place, maybe it's a good idea for us. Second way that we can find rest today is spending time with our Savior. He didn't just go to a quiet place and meditate. He didn't just go to a place and, you know, journal. He didn't just go to a place and write down his affirmations. He went to a quiet place and he prayed. He got with God. And man, would you know that that's our source of life today? That's our source of strength, our source of energy. That if I rely upon myself, I'm completely flesh. There is nothing good within me that's going to come out of my personal desires. But if I would get into the Word of God, and I would call out His name, and I would pray to Him, and I would want to be used for Him, then maybe, just maybe, my ideals, my win column would reflect some of the attributes that we can only obtain through the pursuit of Him and His Word for us. Man, sharing the gospel. Man, praying, fasting, reading. All of those things. Maybe if we would get away and we would spend more time with God, that the times that we're on and we're actually working would look a whole lot more productive. There's a study of a Fortune 500 company, Pastor Irvin. Maybe we can implement this in the future. But they went from a 5-day work week to a 4-day work week. Say, you know, 8-hour days, they didn't switch to 4-10s. And their production actually increased because they were able to rest better. And I think that speaks to our time with the Lord. That man, if we would do a better job of resting, then I believe that our work could be even more exponential. So I want to invite the band to get into place as I want us to take just a second to think about what that looks like in our next season of life. Making space. Would you make it a priority to sit down with, just for yourself? And then if you have a family at home, you're married, you have children. I would even go as far to say as it's even more pertinent that you sit down with them as well and begin to schedule and to plan out what that looks like for you and for your family. What does it look like, man, to work hard? What are those metrics? What are you striving towards? Is it a promotion at work? Is it a raise? Is it this, you know, this amount in your budget? Whatever that is, those things are good. But then also, what does it look like to properly and absolutely rest? When is your personal quiet time? For me, it works best in the mornings. I'm able to wake up before the kids are awake, before my dogs are awake, before my wife's awake, before I'm needed by anybody. And I'm able just to be Cody. I'm able to be the one that needs something for a little bit. And I'm able to get into the presence of God and read and study and journal and pray and praise. That's something, I mean, practically, that's been extremely encouraging for me as I've started journaling here lately. Again, I'm like Mark, I'm not a big writer. But I'm able to look back on days gone by and see the faithfulness of God and how He's moved. And it gives me hope for the future. But what does that look like for you today? You know, at brass tacks, on a practical level for all believers. How do you need to work for God in the days ahead? And how do you need to rest with Him, even for Him? And so as we get ready to respond in just a second, I would encourage you just to have a personal moment of reflection. And say, man, what am I guilty of this year? Was I too busy for myself, my family? Was I too busy for God? Ask God to bring forth those areas of your life that we need to make space. To not schedule those 30 minutes in order that we can be intentional in areas that we need to be intentional. Maybe it's that hour after dinner. Maybe it's that, you know, 15 minutes while everybody's sitting there eating breakfast before you roll out. Whatever it is, what does that look like for you in this coming year? Maybe it's to make a commitment to spend more time with God, because that's going to fill you up and it's going to encourage you more. Maybe you have a hard time doing that on your own. And we have several great family groups here at Tyler Town Church that we would love for you to plug into and spend time with, a community of believers that's going to challenge you to grow. Those of us that are in family groups, we should be the biggest champions for that, because we've seen the goodness of those things. And maybe you're here today and you don't have rest because you don't know the God of peace. Maybe you're unsettled in your soul because you've been striving and trying to do it. You've tried to do it on your own for far too long. Come to me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite you to respond as God leads you to respond. It's a personal moment at your seat. If it's prayer, Pastor Irvin will be up front. I'll be up front. Megan Norman, our kids minister, will be in the back. We would love to pray with you. But we would leave this place with a mission for the days ahead, to strive to make space for people and God in our lives. Would you pray with me now? Father God, Lord, we come to you today, and Lord, we are thankful for you. We're thankful for how you work. We're thankful, God, that when we're tired, Lord, you promise to give us rest. When we're hopeless, you promise to be our living hope. God, when we're hungry, when we're thirsty, Lord, that if we would trust in you, Lord, God, that we would need no more. God, I pray that as we get ready to enter into a new year, Father God, I pray that it would be our best year yet. God, I pray that as personal Christ followers, Lord, we would experience a personal revival in our hearts and in our spirit, Lord, and we would be closer to you than ever before. God, I pray that we would see people restored, God, even more so than the broken years that they've lived. God, I pray that we would see marriages healed. God, I pray that we would see children come to know Christ because of the faithfulness of their parents. God, Lord, I pray that you would give us space to have gospel conversations and, Lord, to speak Jesus into a broken world. That we would never be too busy to give hope. God, Lord, help us to rest in you and to you alone. Father God, we love you. God, we ask you to move. Father, it's in your name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand and would you worship with me?